When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's been so long since I've seen your smile. I'm in a magnolia state of mind. I've seen you each night in my dreams, and I feel you, though you're not here with me. Magnolia State of
welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I got a regular, I got a local here with us. You may know him from the open mic. You may know him from playing Rick's Cafe or Blue Canoe, or he is just now breaking into the Meridian scene. One of the hardest working guys in the Columbus area right now. I got J.D. Spencer, man. What's going on?
Hey, man. I appreciate it. Glad, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, appreciate you opening up the home. I met JD probably about almost 2 years ago now. He came out to the open mic that we hosted, Munson Brothers. Had a fiddle player with him that night.
Yeah, man.
And I've just been watching him ever since and just cheering him on from the sideline.
Yeah, I got a friend that plays blues on a fiddle, if you can believe that. So,
where are you finding these people?
Man, just everywhere, here, there, and yonder, all over the place. Like you said, I've always, you know, if something doesn't happen with this music, which something is going to happen, it may not be what I had in mind, but
right.
You know, it's not going to be for lack of effort on my part, and that's the only thing I want to make sure of.
I'm sure we'll probably get into it. I started playing when I was 15, and I was fortunate enough to hit the bar scene early. I mean, I was in the bars playing at 17, 18 years old, and then I would move down to the coast. I lived down in Mobile, and it was a bigger pond, and I was a smaller fish, and it took a long time. It was like practically starting all over again. And I hear just whatever people define as making it, like, it's totally different. Like locale, Mobile, you had the Recolay Strays, they're doing phenomenal right now.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear other people who have been like Eric Erdman or A Partridge, both singer songwriters from that Mobile area, and they'll both tell you young man's game. But they're doing well in their own right when it comes to being a songwriter and just a folk musician. Get to do European tours and American tours, and maybe not a household name like the Strays, but
yeah,
I mean, it's all.
It's
it
funny
always...
you mention them, because when I played at Blue Canoe, I was up there playing and everything, and that's the first like all 2 hour set that I had that was totally original. Like, I've never found somewhere that would let me do that.
Blue Canoe is awesome. Shout out Adam Morgan, man.
Yeah, Adam Morgan. That's right. He's a good gentleman when he's asleep, you know. But when I was up there playing, I look over to my left, and the Red Clay Strays have signed the wall right there. So it's funny that you mentioned them, because as I was playing, I looked over there, and that's the first thing I saw out of the corner of my eye was, you know, where they had, because I didn't even know that they had played there. I mean, I knew they were from Mobile, but it just... it's funny how all roads lead to the same place sometimes.
That place is a marker. Like Blue Canoe, like you look at the wall, you had, so many of my friends, but I mean, I signed my name when we played there right underneath Tyler Childers, you know?
Yeah,
and
okay.
It's like redhead to redhead here. I mean, but it's crazy if like you get a chance like before or after you play there and you're just looking at the stage and all who signed it, you're like, this is hollow ground right here.
And I wonder, yeah, it really is. Like, I was so proud to get that gig, and I had to wait a long time because, you know, he stays booked out about 6 months in advance. Uh-huh. Well, what happened, it snowed and iced in January, and that was when my first gig was supposed to be. So I had to wait another 6 months for him to make it up to me, you know. But he did. I mean, he's a man of his word. So, you know, and I just wonder if the people that I played for have any idea what it means to the musicians to play there. You know what I mean? Like,
I think they do. Like,
they have to.
I have friends in Fayette, Alabama, Winfield.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Canoe is their favorite place. And they go there, particularly like a person, maybe like you, they haven't heard of, but they know what it means to play at the canoe. And they was like, well, this is probably somebody that we probably need to be aware of, because in a couple of years... you won't be able to see them in a room like this anymore.
Yeah, and you know? What makes you know that, and I think this is what leads to a lot of his success, is, you know, you can't play that. You have to play all originals, and so you have to have an hour and a half or 2 hours worth of material to play there. So anybody that gets to play there has cut a lot of their teeth on making originals and, you know, making the crappy, you know, I mean, because... I don't know if this is the same for you, since I know you write songs as well, but you probably will understand this. I got to, when I first started writing, and I went through a period where I didn't write anything at all, because I wanted every song that I wrote to be like a hit or something that somebody would just be really mesmerized. But then finally I figured out that it's sort of like a rising tide raises all ships, meaning that you got to just keep putting it out there and your level of writing will increase over time, you know? And so that part of it has just been a real learning experience for me.
That's a journey I've been on, man, is, I had that mentality for a long time. I wanted everything that I was signing my name off on or playing live or, you know, take it out to an open mic. And if I'm looking out in the crowd, if I'm not getting the expressions back that I was looking for, I was like, well, I gotta fine tune this thing a little bit. I'm not getting what I wanted out of it. But, and then the mentality can't change to, well, if I write 1,000 songs, maybe 15 of them will be good.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it takes, so be it. But like you said, I mean, it's a muscle. It's, that 1,000 hour or 10,000 hour rule, whatever it is. It's like if you do anything enough, the practice, keep going back to the piece of paper where you pen, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
Same with guitar, right?
Yeah. Well, that's true. That's true. I teach guitar students. I work a lot, or I did. So I used, and we'll get into some more of this maybe later. I've got more history than you're going to be able to fit in a podcast. I'm just going to tell you.
Oh, my Lord.
But I used to live down at Biloxi, and I worked with a VA while I was down there. And so a couple of my songs are inspired by the stories that the VA, because I would work through the VA with the veterans and stuff that had PTSD. And so a couple of my songs are inspired from stories that, of the veterans, because we would just sit around and talk. And, they were learning guitar and I was teaching them, but they, it was more about talking through stuff, and they could do it while we were sitting around playing guitar. It wouldn't be anything they would ever just go to somebody and have that conversation, but they didn't know me from Adam, so, and they probably thought, well, I'm never going to see them again. So for them, it was really liberating as far as dealing with their PTSD and that kind of stuff. And, through the music, I got the opportunity to help a lot of them. So that was just a real neat experience for me.
I know. Well, JD, man, let's get a little bit to the history. So, where are you from? Where'd you grow up?
Okay, so I'm from Corinth, Mississippi, which is about 2 hours north of Columbus here. So,
is it the Slug Burger?
At the Slug Burger Fest, that's right, yep.
So, Tupelo and Corinth now argue over who invented the Slug Burger. Who was it?
Buddy, man? I'm telling you, the Corinth invented the Slug Burger, no doubt about it. And anybody there will tell you that, okay? It's a thing of pride. It really is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up there. It's huge. And I can remember even being, 4 or 5 years old. I can remember being that old. And that's where we went. We used to go with my dad. He would take – I've got a twin brother. And so he used to take us – he worked third shift a lot. And so he and my mom were on different schedules. But it meant I got to spend time with him, especially in my younger life.
Mm-hmm.
During the day, and so I wouldn't take anything for that now, but that's where we used to go, is to have Slug Burgers just
nice.
About every day. So I can attest that at least for half a century, because I'm that's one of the things, I'm a little bit older than folks think I am. I'm gonna be 50 here in about another month or two. So
look out.
So, it's...
That time been good to you, man.
Man, I'm telling you, I've drank a lot of beer over the years, and so it's this life has been good to me, and I think I mentioned a minute ago, I've already lived through two or three lives, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So just doing different things, and if you hang around long enough, that'll happen. So it gives me a lot of material to lean on.
Yeah, right on. So out of Corinth, man, music always part of your life?
Yes, from the very, I was 5 years old, we had a piano in the house, and so my family came from northern Alabama, and Spooner Oldham,
okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with him, over the Muscle Shoals area.
Okay, yeah.
He played Wurlitzer on Stand By Me. That's all my mama's folks, and so I got music really from both sides of the family. My dad's family was from around St. Louis area, and they all kind of met in Mississippi somehow. But Spooner's my great uncle. So, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and does a lot of songwriting. So it's coming from somewhere. So I've done a lot of research and, about where my family on both sides is from. And so
mm-hmm.
Kind of started in northern Alabama. Everybody met in Mississippi. My dad was a member of 11 kids, because people back then they were sharecroppers. And so they needed hands in the field,
Yeah.
And so he was that whole deal. Grew up with music everywhere, all over my family, and so it came real natural. I played basketball in sort of high school, middle school kind of,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a short guy, comparatively to some people walking around, but so basketball wasn't going to be, it was my passion at the time, but it wasn't going to be a calling,
Yeah.
So I had to find something constructive at that, because back then, this was before the internet even. So, you had to find something to occupy your time. Otherwise, you're going to end up in prison or something else, you know. So, after I got out of sports, I wasn't really part of the cool crowd, you know. But I loved playing drums at the time. So I started as sort of on percussion, even though I played piano at mm-hmm. home by ear. Band and music paid my way, from when high school ended all the way through college, paid for my college and started blessing me from the very start. And I started playing guitar when I was 15. At that time, I had a summer job and bought my first guitar myself, you know. I wish I still had that thing. It got stolen. Some dude stole it out of my apartment one day. It left the case, too. So, like, I had to sit around and watch the case, you know, with nothing in it for a couple of weeks.
Jeez.
Until I got that one. But after I got out of college is when I moved to Mississippi State and started working for the university. And that's when I first started really getting into gigging a lot. I played a lot at Dave's, did Dave's open mic.
Oh, yeah.
I started gigging really before I moved down to Starkville because I had moved to Tennessee for a little bit, and I started, my first gigs were up there.
What part of Tennessee?
Dyersburg.
Okay.
North of Memphis there. But I worked for the state, though, so it was real easy for me to transition around. I worked in a couple of places like Savannah, Dyersburg, up at Nashville a little bit. So that kind of really, there's a lot up in that area. There's just a lot of opportunity. And it was a different time, too. This was pre-COVID, so things have changed since COVID quite a bit on the music landscape.
It seems like there's some things that still haven't come back, and I don't think they ever will.
No, we're missing a whole generation of folks from 18 to 25 that, during that time where you go into the bars and go into the music places and consuming music, they had to do all that from home, and it just wasn't available, and I don't know that the economy has recovered enough yet for people to start really going back as heavy as it was. But
yeah, I don't think it has, man. I remember, just before COVID, specifically here in Alabama, Mississippi, where I'm fortunate enough to have played all over both of these states. But I remember there was so much opportunity on the coast. You could play two gigs on Friday night, you could play two gigs on Saturday night, and they're not far from each other. And you and the band are splitting, anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000 for the weekend, and
yeah,
it's actually worth it. Now it's like road warrior to a brand new degree. It's like you might have two or three gigs, you might get two in one day, and just to save a little bit of money, we're going to go to the campground. We're not going to get the hotel room. We're just going to kind of rough it,
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying.
It's changed a lot.
It's testing the ones that really love it from the ones that think that they know what it's about,
Mm-hmm.
And I've done the government street grocery. I played down on the coast when I lived down there, and Castaways. I played a lot. There was a couple of different – I played at there's a place right down by the casinos, and it's like a gas station, but I can't remember the name of it.
Oh.
It's in Biloxi, and I can't remember what the name of it was.
I keep wanting to say The Joint, but that ain't it.
The Shed, yeah, I played there,
okay,
is over closer to Ocean Springs, but this was like right in Biloxi, and it may have been called the filling station. That may have been
make pretty good sense. Gas station vibe there.
It was like an old filling station that had been turned into a bar, but it was like the coolest place because it was kind of like it had the Dave's vibe to it. Just dark and a lot of opportunity for somebody hungry. Munson Brothers, the same deal. You got the open mic there, and it's an atmosphere and a community that's fostering something. Something's happening there.
Man, our young guys now that have been coming week in and week out, or every 2 weeks, however you want to put it, they're at the point now, and these are 16, 17, 18-year-old guys, and thinking about COVID for them, like they were right around that age group that really didn't get the experience, and it's somewhat coming back for them. But I'm talking to some of our local guys now because they're ready to start. They're ready to open for somebody. You know, they're not ready for their own show yet, but they could definitely like play 15, 30 minutes before, you know, you or whomever went on.
Yeah.
And good exposure and
And good experience.
Yeah,
too.
And you might even get your name on a little piece of that marquee, you know, and you know that means a lot to people when they first get going.
Well, I mean, it means a lot to me. I just played at Rick's here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw your name on the marquee up there.
And man, like, you know, nobody. Well, you guys do, but there's very few venues that have a marquee. When you pull up to it, you know, like that's the small stuff that means something to the musician, because when you pull up there, you know you've earned the right to be on that marquee. You know what I mean? Because they're not just going to give it to you. You got to get out and beat the bushes and earn it. You know what I mean? And do it. Like, you know, we'll get into some of this in a minute, but I mean, there's more. Like, you know, you were talking about 10,000 hours a minute ago. I mean, I'm more than double that. You know,
right?
Easy. So, anyway, so. Back to where we were at, I was at Dave's and started playing open mic there. And then I started playing out a little bit. I started booking it at the Bend 612, and then there was a place down across from Mugshots downtown. It's where Restaurant Tyler was for a little bit.
It was called something else. The guest room?
Yeah, maybe. No. That's the speakeasy for Restaurant Tyler. Now, this was where Restaurant Tyler ended up being.
Oh, okay. Before.
Yeah, but it was a bar at that time, and they booked it out a lot to the fraternities because they would have dances and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I knew that I really wanted to do music. I played, and I, you know, people laugh about frat parties sometimes, but there was like a whole, I mean, they would pack a dance floor out. And when I'm sitting there playing just me and an acoustic guitar, and they're all on the floor dancing to what I'm playing, and it's bumping, like, if you've ever been in that as a musician, and it sticks with you. Like, I can still feel that feeling even today, and this has been more than 10 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I can feel, when you're in that groove as a musician, you got everybody bumping, and if that ever happens to you one time, you're just, it's a sickness, you know?
You're just done.
You're just done for, you know? So, it's like I mentioned, so Friday night I sang for 3 hours. Last night I sang for 3.5. And that's like, that gets harder as you get older, but I just have to keep going, you know, like I have to keep, I have to keep writing, I have to keep singing and performing, because there's just, it's one of the only things that you can do in this lifetime that it feels like the first time every time, you know, like what else could you do in this life that every time that you did it, it felt like the first time?
True, man, and like there's nothing like, getting booked in a place that you've never been, and it's your first time in that city, and like you're pulling up, maybe you got the name on the marquee, and you're like, well, here we go.
Yeah, we're gonna see.
Yeah, you're about to make your first impression on some folks you ain't never laid eyes on, you know?
And you don't even know what they're used to seeing either. That's what I found out last night, you know.
Yeah.
I think last night was pretty successful. I was really thankful to have that last night.
That gig you got, it's a tough gig, and the reason why it's tough is it's so long, but also just from here, it's a pretty good little haul.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, 3 hours worth of driving, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's basically an hour and a half one way. Mm-hmm. So, it's, but it was totally worth it. Like I said, you know,
yeah.
I woke up this morning with a smile on my face, and then to get to, like, I've been a fan of this podcast and your show and you in general, you know, just what you're doing with Porch Fest, you know, what you're doing with Open Mic on the first and third Thursdays of every month, you know, supporting not only original music and the music that you do, but supporting other people. You know, you don't find too many people out here doing that. And so I've been a fan. I've been dying. I almost asked you one time. I was like, well, shit, he's not going to ask me. I just might as well just, you know.
You should have, man. It was definitely on the board. Like, this show and just how it's grown has been so crazy. And, like, if it ever feels like I'm just, like, looking over, or it's just because I ain't got to you yet.
Well, you know?
We're here now, though.
We're here now. We're sitting in the house right now, you know. But So it's like, and that's how this music thing has been for me my whole entire life and career. It's been such a blessing. And every time I get to do something like this, it's like a dream come true every single time, you know.
Yeah, man, I want Porch Talk to be a service because, like, to the local musicians, this podcast has a pretty good following, and it's not just here in the States. I mean, people in Europe or even Canada or South Africa, wherever. I mean, it goes everywhere. And it's crazy, like, people get to traveling, and if they happen to have, like, a Porch Talk shirt, like, I had a friend who got stopped in Germany because they were wearing a Porch Fest shirt, and, like, they knew about it. Like, they had never been, but they've, like, yeah, I know that podcast. I know Alan. I've been listening to it, and, like, one day I want to come to Mississippi just to go to one of his festivals. And I was like, now we're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, now you're getting a dream fulfilled, huh?
Yeah.
I know you've worked really hard, you know, with grants and whatnot, and, you know, you don't know this about me, but I work on contracts every day. I'm not an attorney, but everybody in my office is. But I do the contracts for Live Nation through Vanderbilt University Medical Center for the EMS services for every concert that happens at Bridgestone Arena.
Okay.
So I'm a contract negotiator. It's what I do for my day job, you know, and hopefully this is going to take over that, because that's not a bad job. But if I can provide you with a letter or whatever, you know, you just say the word.
Right on, man. Yeah.
I've applied for grants, is what I'm saying. I have pre and post grant experience.
So. One thing that I'm finding is right now, and you probably could correct me, but I feel like I'm getting my foot into the door. For a lot of these, I know they're competitive grants, and once they know the name of the people, they get to trust them, they see what they do with the money, it's a lot easier to give them the money, and, like, I'm coming out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to tell people who I am and what I'm doing, and keep on applying. I might not get some of them this year, but hopefully next year.
Well, I definitely pumped you up hard last night. I talked to a fellow last night that was the main luthier for Gibson Guitars. He was there in the audience.
Whoa.
Last night. Come to find out, he's from Meridian originally and just happened to be there. I mean, it's stuff like that.
How about the head,
that,
dude?
You know, that you just, I was telling you about how every once in a while you just get a little nugget and you just, something that just tells you to keep going, so you can't stop now, you know. So I'm with you. I will try to get your message out there, you know.
I mean, that's incredible. And what's Meridian Peavy? But you had a Gibson guy there.
Well, so he transitioned from Peavy whenever they went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
He transitioned to working for Gibson at that time. But now he's the head. I mean, he lives in Nashville and is the head luthier for Gibson Guitar. I mean, but he, you know, he has family there and was visiting family there.
And got to catch some live music, and you happened to be there.
JD Spencer on some live music, you know what I mean? So I couldn't have asked for any better night. I'm just grinning from ear to ear. The folks can't see me, but,
yeah,
you know, I'm really super happy with how things are turning out. And even just the songs, the thing about songwriting is it's just magic. Because I could have never intentionally sat down and write some of the songs that have come out of stuff that I've been doing, you know?
Yeah.
They're just not.
The ones that I'm always proud of and I'm happy about that get to leave the bedroom, it's like those lightning in a bottle moments to where you can't seem to put the pen to paper quick enough. Or,
yeah, it's like trying to hit a fastball or something.
Yeah, and you can't the guitar and the words are just, the melody's already there, and it's quicker than what you can write. Like, and those moments, they're so few and far between.
I can't believe that happens to somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, I don't talk to... So that's one thing I'm trying to work on, is I'm trying to learn to co-write with other writers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I realize that it can be a benefit to your writing to write with other people. I just... It's been such a magical thing for me, and at times slow and arduous. I haven't seen yet how it's possible, but I'm just now starting to dabble. I wrote a couple weeks ago... One of the guys from Saving Abel, which was big in Corinth, they had three number ones here, I don't know, 2008, 2009, somewhere around there. But they're still going, still writing and stuff. And so I grew up with those guys, and he had invited me up to his house to do some writing here a couple weeks ago. And that was my first time ever to co-write with anybody on anything. I don't know we didn't end up with a song out of it, but we kind of got started on one and just said, hey, we're not here to complete a song tonight. We're just here to come in, spend a little time catching up, you know, and kind of go from there. And we'll eventually get some songs out of this, you know. But he and I hadn't even seen each other since like 2012. So it was a lot of catching up.
Pretty good little reunion.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was pretty cool because, you know, he's done something that, I mean, you'd have a better chance of making a Major League Baseball team than to do something like they did. I mean, they went, like, totally nationwide, had three number ones. And it's not even the same. I don't even think you could do it that way anymore just because the way music is.
The game's changed.
The game's changed so much. Mm-hmm. You know, you're never going to be able to do it like they did it again. You know, so, but he's still a good writer and he's still a good friend. So I was up there checking him out and seeing what he was up to, you know.
Yeah, I want to get back to your story just for a second, but while we're talking about just like the level of it, I think it is like running the podcast, getting on as many of them as you can, being self-sustaining, like doing a good job with your social media. It sucks that has such a huge component of it now, to be socially present on a social media. And then is like YouTube and having content out there. Like I'm not a fan of the TikTok apps or any of that. I mean, I don't have them personally, but I try to always be mindful and trying to think of content that we could use on YouTube, something where people could watch it. Because I mean, I can't tell you how many people we have. John Major out of that Tupelo area who was found on TikTok. And I mean, he was a young songwriter. I don't think he had written a song. First song was written like 2 years ago. That particular song got picked up by an outdoor channel, hunting show. And I mean, he's got as good of a chance as any of us now as getting out there on a national level, just through TikTok.
Well, and that's why. So I've got a TikTok open, but I've not made it to like cutting up my videos into reels and that kind of stuff, and I know that's the important part of it. Mm-hmm. All I've done so far, so I'm on TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, but the two main ones are Facebook and YouTube. Mm-hmm. Twitter, I barely post any content on it. I'm more reading on it, you know.
So, yeah, that's where I get my news. X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
It's
it'll always be Twitter to me, man. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Same with me. What was we calling it? It was Twitter with an X or something. We had some kind of it was wild to me to change the name of it. I was like, you ain't never gonna leave that name. But that's a tough platform for musicians.
Yeah.
Like Instagram's pretty good.
I'm on Instagram too.
Spotify, like when you start getting your singles released, because that's a thing. Like some of the bars that we were trying to get into when I was with Cosmic Gravy, they were asking about how many followers you have on Spotify, how many monthly listeners. Like that was something on your EPK that you had to start including for you to even have an opportunity to get in the door.
Really? See, I've not had anybody ask me for that yet, but what they're asking me for is live video.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know you play some solo gigs and stuff, but you play with bands too. I have not traditionally played a lot of gigs with bands. Matter of fact, hardly any, because I've never been able to find a right group of guys that really I thought took it as serious as I did, that I would be able to depend on. It's really hard to find people that are dependable that'll do what they say they're going to do. So I've only done a lot of solo gigs, and it's real hard to record yourself at a solo gig, you know what I mean? So I've got some video that I'm able to send for some of the stuff, but that's one of the things we're going to have to do, you know, at rehearsals. Or our first gig for our band's coming up November the 23rd. There's a new place up at Iuka called the Robin Hood Brewery, and we're going to play up there. It's brand new, and so we're going to go wear it out. There's four of us, and so we're called Muddy River Band. So,
right on.
You know, up around Corinth, that's got the Tennessee Tongue Big River, so that's and Savannah and all that's right there close too. So that's kind of where that all comes from. But Anyway, back to the music thing. So
we're at Days, we're at the open mic.
We're playing around town in Starkville, a lot of places. And it got to be where, of course, now I wouldn't take anything from my time with the university. Let me just say that. But it's not my passion. You know, I mean, you got to pay the bills somehow. And so, but at the time, it got to be where I was playing so much, and things were ramping up a little bit, and it got to where I just thought, well, I can go pay my bills if I focus on the one thing, because, you know, if a person has two masters, you're not going to give either one of them the due. And right. So what I ended up doing, and at the time, my life priorities had changed because I had gone through a divorce, and it was just a real. I was on my way back, but you know it broke me a little bit for a little bit, and so my priorities had changed. You know, the state job was sort of a result of my schooling and you know what I thought my trajectory would be, and so I didn't really care as much as I probably should have about it. And so I just decided I was gigging enough. I was just going, because I didn't have any bills, I didn't have any children, still don't have any children, but I just decided I was just going to rough it. I didn't care if I was going to have to pound it out or what, you know. I was going to make music my thing, and that's all I was going to do. Well, so I left state, and I did that for, I don't know, probably a year and some change. But, you know, that's the thing about the bar scene is you're playing 3-4 hours a night and you're singing that, you know, and that's hard to sustain on a daily basis, which is what you got to do if you're going to make enough money to live in this world at $100 a whack. And it was still, you know, it's $100 today and it was $100 back then, you know,
that rate hasn't changed.
Not at all. So, you know, if you're going to pound that out, you're going to have to play just about every single day. And I did that for a year, almost 2 years, but I eventually went to work for Carnival Cruise Lines, and I was a musician aboard Carnival. Played on 11 different ships. I played 6 nights a week, 5 hours a day.
It had to be an interesting time.
It was. I played for 6,000 people a week, though, so it was some good experience as far as playing at a professional level. There were so many things to that job, so many facets, because it was an education in and of itself, just being around the people from all over the world. And not only that, you know, a Mississippi boy like me had to go to Baltimore and play for people out of Baltimore or Maryland, and I still have a lot of friends that I'm friends with all over social media to this day that's how I met them, was through the cruise ship gig. So not only people here in the U.S., I was poured out of Galveston, New York, Los Angeles. So I had to play for people all over the country. And they have to be happy, you know, because they paid to be on there. You know what I mean? So you can't just go on there and lay down, you know. And so that was my first experience of having to play every night and be a professional at it. You know, like, because it's tougher than you think to play it every night. You know what I mean? It's a totally different ballgame. And when you're doing that for a living, you're basically, because you can't have, I mean, I did music full time, so you can't have apartments, you can't have cars, you can't have, you know, anything that signifies a regular sort of life. You're basically a transient in this bubble, because they would take me off one ship in New York and fly me to Los Angeles to get on another ship the next day, you know.
Yeah. And there wasn't no going home.
You were home. You know what I mean? That is your home. It's out there. And it's, you know, that's the reason I ended up not doing it forever, was because you're out there away from everybody. And I couldn't really get a following on social media because I was just everywhere all the time. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, like, I would do really well while I was out there. I'd stash back a lot of cash while I was out there. But then when I would date every 8 months, 6-8 months or so, you have to take, like, a mandatory 3-month break. They call it between contracts or whatever. But when I would do that, I'd get off the ship and I wouldn't have anywhere to go. you know, nowhere to live. I'd have to go, and I would usually go to like New Zealand or somewhere like that to, but I'd have to pay like a 3 month rental with a resort fee on it. And so by the time I got back to the ship, I couldn't build anything.
Yeah, you're starting over.
Yeah, you're just starting over again. So, you know, that, and I met a really beautiful woman, and that'll put the brakes on stuff, you know, quicker than anything.
Yeah, that'll do it quick.
So,
how'd y'all meet? Did y'all meet the cruise line?
Yeah, she worked as a lieutenant and in guest services there and had some people working under her, and she did it for about 7 years. I did it for about, well, almost five, 4 years, basically, better part of 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I knew going in it wasn't going to be a forever gig because it's just so much all the time. You just can't do that forever. It is like being on tour. I mean, it really is. Even though you're in the same place and you don't have to tote in gear, you know, all I had to do was walk from my hotel room to the stage every night. And, you know, it was nice because I could play originals, covers, whatever I wanted to play. And I played like solo guitar and harmonica and the piano bar too sometimes. I'd fill in. And so you could get tips. You could, I mean, it was just like doing your dream, you know, it was like a dream job. But I don't know, there was downsides to it. You know, like I said, playing five nights a week, every week with one day off to rest, you know, and you were ready for a rest after 5 days. And especially on some of those cruises, you know, people, you get aboard that cruise ship and there's no DUIs, and if you fall out in the hall, they'll carry you to your room. You know what I mean? It was a constant party. And so it's good to that's the good part about playing music, is being in around a party all the time and being the life of the party. But you know, they would play a game with me, like, let's get the entertainer drunk and see how much he can drink and still play, you know what I mean? You know, and I enjoyed it because at that time I had played enough around at Dave's and Rick's and the Ben, and at that time the Ben was real big. Played there a lot. You know,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Really cut my teeth in Starville, but I had played enough before I got there that I had a really good 5 to 6 hours worth of covers, and so they could just basically shout out songs at me, and I was ready for it, you know, just whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, anything from, you know, whatever, Green Day, I mean, at that time it was just whatever.
Yeah, that's one thing with those younger guys at the open mic, one thing that we've been encouraging them to do is they may have Mason or Josh Gillis as their guitar teacher, and they're coming a long way in like learning stage presence and how to perform the song. And like the next thing that we're working on is like, all right, you got to build upon these 15 minutes. Like every time you come to this open mic, you shouldn't be playing the same songs every time. Play two or three, you know, maybe, but typically you're only gonna have time for two or three, so make it count.
Mm-hmm.
And play those songs out, get comfortable with those songs too. Next thing you know, you've built up an hour set, you build up a 2 hour set. And I was like, it won't be long, you'll be ready for your own show.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, these are the steps, these are the levels that we're taking right here. We're trying to build y'all up, and then we're gonna turn y'all loose in the start. Well, we're gonna take y'all to Tupelo. Just gotta one step at a time.
That's awesome. So you got like a little School of Rock going on over there.
Somewhat. And you know, we're not going to jump them. They're not as faithful as I'd like them to be. They don't make it every time.
Yeah.
There's one that he's there every time. So, I mean, he's definitely going to be the first one that gets put up because
he seems to want it. Yeah, he's hungry. Yeah.
So, and it's the same way when I'm watching, I'm really into comedy, and it's that same thing is, man, they forget, or like people get amnesia is, everyone that you see, whether it's music, especially music, I think comedy is a little more apparent, maybe. But the guys that are killing it and you're jealous of and you're looking to, and why not me, is they probably have 10 or 15 more years on you.
Yeah.
You know, like you, like nobody pays attention or cares about the grind. They remember you when you started and then one day when you just emerge. But nobody thinks about all that time in between.
Oh, man, that's what I'm telling you. Like, that guitar right there, man. So John Prine assigned that guitar. And
smeared off, didn't it?
I can't quit playing the guitar. And I couldn't, at the time, I couldn't spray anything on it because, number one, I didn't know what to spray on it. And I'm not just like a super handy guy, you know what I mean? But if I did spray anything on it, it's going to affect the sound. You know, I didn't want to ruin it because it's such a special guitar to me. But Charlie Daniels signed that guitar. Citizen Cope signed that guitar.
Love that guy.
Tracy Byrd signed that guitar. I don't know who all I had signed it, but I can't quit playing it, so I just sweat all over the damn thing, and it's now there's nothing on it. You know what I mean? But I know it was there, and I've got pictures of like when I met John Prine. You know, I mean, it's not like I can't prove it, but it doesn't mean anything other than I've written all these songs on that guitar. I've got a song about that guitar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And people, I mean, I know it sounds silly to talk about a guitar like it's an animate thing or whatever, but sometimes that guitar, me and that guitar is about the only thing that I own. Like, I condensed my life down to a suitcase and that guitar. And, you know, I didn't have anybody in my life at that point. There was nobody but me and that guitar. So, and I'm talking about thousands and thousands of hours where, you know, you're sitting there at the end of a long night and, you know, you've been playing for hours and people have come, they partied and they've left and gone and it's just you sitting there and nobody, you know. I walked off the stage one night. This is what really put music in perspective for me. I had played some Bob Dylan one night, and I walked off the stage, and this little boy come up to me and was like, "Man, I really love that song. Who did you write that? Who played that?" And I'm like, you know, I can't believe that there's somebody on the face of this earth that, you know, doesn't know that that's a Bob Dylan song or who Bob Dylan. I said, that's what I said to him is, "Oh man, I appreciate it. Yeah, I love me some Bob Dylan." And he looked at me and said, "Who's Bob Dylan?" Yeah. And I thought, well, shit, there ain't no hope for the rest of us. You know what I mean? So, you know, although I know I've learned, I've been taught that in a way it's a futile exercise in the end, it sure is a sweet ride, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why I love it. And that's why I'm able to really love it. Like, don't tell anybody, but I would do it for free. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and it comes in periods of time, like, you know, getting started in Starville and, like, really cutting your teeth to the cruise ship, man. It's like, I've had, like, different stages and different iterations of, it was, like you said, it was like its own little lifetime.
Yeah.
Or even, like, there was a season to where I was more of an electric guitar player. There was a season to where I was more of a bass player, you know. And
well, that's like me. I'm recently I've hooked up with some elderly. I don't want to call them old because they're not old. They're older. I'm the baby of the group, and so but they're all world class musicians, and it's all about the fun. And I sing and I play drums in this band. And it, you know, it's looking like it may start coming to an end, which I'll start getting to come to more open mics because Thursday night was our rehearsal night. But, you know, that season is kind of looks like it's coming to an end. But I never thought I would be a drummer again in a band. You know, I thought that period of my life was over completely because that's what I started out in the very beginning in sixth and seventh grade playing drums in a band. And I had kind of gone by the wayside from about 15. I picked up that guitar, and I never looked back. You know? But it's been such a journey being able to be in that band and be a drummer, you know. And it's kind of like, you know, the last words of the drummer is, "Hey, y'all, check out my new song," you know, if you're the drummer. So that's kind of what I feel like most times because we do some of my originals in that band just because, you know, they're music appreciators, and so they understand what it means to put together a song, you know, what it means to know, well, this key's not working, let's put it in this other key, you know, and to be able to change keys, and they're really versatile in that way. So it's nice to be around some older, experienced musicians.
Yeah.
I haven't been around a lot of that. There's some around you guys, you know, you, there's several people in this area that, Hunter Myers is another one that I'm really digging what he's doing right now.
He's coming to town soon. I think he's going to be up in the theater.
Yeah. Yeah. At Columbus Arts Council. Mm-hmm. Isn't he?
That's a great room.
I see. I've been trying to get something going on there, but they're in some transition right now.
They are.
And so they're not doing anything right this minute. You know, I talked to a few folks down there the other day. Yeah. But so they're not, you know, but once they get that all straightened out, I'm hoping by then to kind of hopefully get a little more traction than I've been really blessed here in the last year.
You've been staying busy,
half.
Man. It's been a wild ride, just like watching from the sideline and just seeing it all happen for you.
I'm sorry for all the posting I've been doing.
Stuff. I mean, that's what it's about. It's what you
got
to do.
You got to, because it's mm-hmm. it's a fight for people's attention nowadays. You know, there's just so much out of it. And it sort of cheapens music a little bit, but not really. I mean, it just makes it's all right there available for you.
Well, I mean, you do it the right way. Like, it's a genuine and humble post. It's not a... hey, look at me and look what I'm doing. It's always like, I can't believe I got this opportunity to do it, and I'm looking forward to the night. And if you're around, I hope you can make it out. And I was like, that's not annoying at all. You know, that's sincere.
Sometimes
I
feel like it is, because you have to post so much. You know, you just have to keep, because there's certain times of day, even like if you really do your research, you know, there's certain times of day you need to be posting something and it needs to be good.
Oh, yeah, at 2 o'clock. Da, 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 da. Yeah.
10-2. Yeah. I mean, I don't know who decided that, but...
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And with stories or on YouTube, you need to be making shorts, and it's...
Well, and I'm thankful for the opportunities that I had before all this social media stuff kicked up, because I've got that base, but then I can add to it by just adding more into my arsenal, you know, because I'm a technology kind of person too. I like what you're doing here with the recording and stuff, and so I'm interested in how you do this. Like, this is really neat to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got that experience, and a lot of people think, you know, with the cruise ships, they automatically think, well, those people are not good musicians. That's, you know, if they were any good, they'd be doing X, Y, or Z. Yeah. But I'm telling you, there are some true, like, really, like, as good as anybody you'll ever hear in that industry.
I remember the one cruise that I went on, piano bar, and even in the dance room, and one other room where they had music. All those guys, world class.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Just I was blown.
They could play anything that you had, anything you wanted. It didn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's I had to too. You know, like when I got there, I realized that I was a small fish in a big pond, and I had to do a lot of work when I got that gig. After I'd already gotten the gig, it was one thing because, you know, I had to go through all the Coast Guard stuff, the physicals and all that to just be able to, like, they won't let you on the ship unless you go through.
Yeah, be so fit.
Oh, man, it's like you wouldn't believe it. Like, I had to turn in this, like, 92-page dossier that had all the stuff, the extra training that I had done. Jeez. All the health physicals, like, you wouldn't believe it. You really just wouldn't believe it. And so I felt fortunate to even be there, because it was a deal where I was invited to audition, and I thought it's a sure shoe-in, but it wasn't. I had to fight hard to get that job, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And but at the time, you know, I mean, I didn't have to struggle. I wasn't worried about where my next meal was going to come from. I'll put it like that. It wasn't super lucrative, but, you know, I made enough to survive 6 or 8 months when I got off the ship if I needed to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I got back to the ship, I had already blown through it because I was young at the time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You get off and you're partying big time, you know, you're this person that does music for a living. I mean, I was getting to live a dream, you know. It's very rare that your passion lines up with paying the bills. So...
And after, would it be after you met your wife, would you come back to Columbus
or find this area? I started out in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Jackson Hole.
Yeah.
My buddy Early James just got back from there.
Man,
he was out there in those creek beds playing his guitar.
Yeah. Dude, people, if people knew what, like, that place is like stepping, in a way, is like stepping back like 100 years. Like, people are still having fun out there. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's not like down here where everybody's like really uptight and, you know, just like that all the time. Out there, it's like people are really kind. One of the funniest things that happened to me once I got out there was they got these brooms on street poles out there and a little sign that says help clean your neighborhood, so people just stop and like sweep up stuff like on the walking paths and stuff, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't believe the culture that was out there. Like, it was just like going to Mars or something, you know. But when I got off the ship, I didn't have a job. I went from like having everything I wanted to like not having, because you can't go to interviews or do any of that out there, you know, you're just out there in the ocean,
right?
And so when I got off, I went to Charlotte. Well, this was right after the crash and all that stuff. This was it was end of 2013, beginning of 2014. So I started out in Charlotte, and I didn't stay there very long. It was a high cost of living. I'd gone there because some internet ad had said that's the highest place in the U.S. So I thought, well, if I can go there, maybe we'll make something happen. I didn't know what we're, because she stayed on the ship, and so and while you're on the ship, they promote you like making relationships out there, because they found that people are happier when they're out there doing that, and so they promote people getting married on the ship, and they try to keep you together ship to ship. So we were like on three ships together, and we stayed in a room together and all that, and you know, it was a room that was about half the size of this room. So I figured if we could live in that for a year or two and not kill each other, we ought to be fine.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and got off the ship and came on land. I started out in Charlotte, but I didn't stay there long. Really high cost of living. And there was some jobs around, but you had to know somebody. It was a really tight, you know, environment and hard to break into, just like what you were talking about a minute ago. You know, if you don't know somebody, it was really hard to break into. So, but I had a friend. When I had gotten out of high school, I worked in Yellowstone National Park for a summer, and just worked out there in the kitchen in the employee dining room. So I'd go to work at 4:30 in the morning, and I was 18-year-old and just living the dream, you know. But I still had a friend that was out there, and so he said, "Yeah, man, I got this company, and we're renting out these billion-dollar cabins that these people own, you know, just for people to come for vacation rentals, and we're just middleman in it kind of deal." So I went out there, and I had an accounting degree, so I was just going to do accounting with him for a little bit and see where that went, and, you know, and I sort of put music aside for a little bit because I was wore down pretty good after, you know, 5 hours a night, 6 nights a week for 4 years. You could have poured me in my suitcase and sent me home, you know, and I was good and toasted by that point.
Yeah.
But, and so went out there with him, spent a summer and a winter, and then I moved from there to Biloxi. So I was like going like daylight to dark.
You
know what I mean? So it's like going to bed in black and white and waking up in color kind of deal, you know? It was just a weird time for me, but I enjoyed the coast a whole lot. Went to work, back to work for Mississippi State on the coast in Biloxi. It's kind of what brought me from Jackson, Wyoming. And plus, out there, you know, the billionaires have taken over from the millionaires even at that time. So it was, it was getting to where, I mean, the only thing for any kind of regular folks out there is going to be renting stuff. And I wanted to own something. You know, eventually, like, that's the only way to really, I mean, you can rent for a little while if it's a means to an end, but your money's not going to, it's going to go up every year because the person taking care of the property has got to have more money to take care of it every year. And your money's just going, you know, out the window. So I did. It was fine for a while, and I've done it for many years at a time during different seasons, but I knew I wanted somewhere to establish something. So I left Jackson Hole, and, you know, I miss it. I miss being out there in that mountain air, man. And it was just different people out there, you know.
Yeah.
I know you know what I'm talking about if you've ever been out there for any period of time, but it's a totally different culture out there, and it's just I don't know, maybe it's the heat down here. I'm used to the heat down here because I was raised here, and in a way, sometimes on summer nights I really enjoy the heat.
Yeah.
I like sitting out back and playing guitar and getting me like a jar or something to drink, and
same. Did that last night.
You know, just enjoying that heat.
While you was on the ride up back north, I was sitting out back enjoying it.
You were living a good life, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't understand about the heat down here. You know, they're like, how do you put up with that? And I'm like, man, if you were from here, you would really start to appreciate it after a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got one song recorded where it's not the really loud ones, but the cicadas,
mm-hmm.
where they just come on and they're like just constant. They don't come in and die off. Not those. It's the ones that just come in constant. And I recorded it in the kitchen here, but you can hear it on the record. And
I like that kind of stuff.
This is like a sort of a bossa nova sound, but it has that. The recording just came out like a miracle, you know. Like when I hear it, I can feel the heat of the summertime. When you hear this recording, it's called "Her Heart Belongs to Me." Go on YouTube and listen to it sometime.
There you go. Plugs.
I know you hadn't checked it out, but there's all kinds of content out there. But what I'm saying is, go check that song out, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
When I hear that, I can feel the heat of Mississippi in the evening. Like it's an auditory. Registration of what that feels like. So that gets us down to Biloxi, and ever since then, 2014, so it's the last 10 years we've been together. We've been doing good. We moved up here because my wife went to work for Mississippi State at the main campus, and I was able to transition up here and stayed there another 5 years at Mississippi State. And then whenever COVID hit, I had gone to work as like the state director for Tennessee Board of Regents, which is like the governing body,
mm-hmm.
for all the colleges and universities that are state run in the state of Tennessee. So I was transitioning. It was actually a promotion to be the statewide director, but then COVID hit and we had not sold the house here yet. And so they said, either you come right now or sayonara. And I said, well, I hadn't sold my house yet. We were trying to transition. I had been driving to Nashville and staying up there through the week and then coming on here in the weekends because she was still staying here. And so we were kind of like in transition. Well,
yeah.
When COVID hit, that opportunity just went away. But I was able to find a remote job. With the Texas Department of Emergency Management. And then that transitioned to where I'm at now with VUMC, doing contracts and stuff. But,
very cool.
You know, music is the thing that I enjoy doing the most, and it's probably gets the most attention from me right now. I'll just be honest with you. I work here from home every day, and even that, I'm so fortunate. That lends itself, because I do a ton of writing here during the daytime on breaks and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and whenever. But, you know, I like the environment I'm in at BMC because they're supportive of work-life balance, you know, and it's just like the perfect job. So for me right now, life is really, really good.
Yeah, great, man.
And so I'm looking forward to what's on the horizon. I'm hoping that, you know, whoever's running Porch Fest is going to book me there.
Hey, he's there. He's already booked.
You know, that's such a, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be the highlight of my 2025 started.
It's going
to
be the biggest and best one we've thrown yet. And I'm really excited about everybody on that lineup. I think people are going to be really impressed.
Well, I know you got Honey Boy and Boots, and I was going to tell you about them. So, I met Courtney when she first moved to Mississippi. That's when I was
at
playing
Dave's?
That. Yeah.
That's when she would get up with a cello of anybody?
This was before she even did that.
Oh.
That's when I knew her. This was before she even knew Drew. Like, okay. I met her before she even had met Drew. But even after she met Drew, I stayed friends with her and Drew just because Drew was had then started doing the open mic, and she had started doing going up and just playing with people randomly at open mic or whatever. Mm-hmm. But what's funny is Drew, so Courtney and I share a birthday, and then Drew and my wife share a birthday. So I thought at times, I was like, man, I wonder if I were to tell them, you know, because my wife, she sings and stuff, and she's all the time, I've been trying to, she doesn't want to like be on a recording or anything. She doesn't have a lot of confidence yet, but she has a great voice. And so like, I've been trying to get her to sing with me a little bit and maybe come up like at an open mic or something and sing. But I thought at times, I was like, I wonder if I, because they know it too, you know, because we all tell each other happy birthday, you know, on our birthdays and stuff. And so they know that we all share birthdays. And so just a little nugget for you. But I had thought at times, I wonder if I were to say something to them about, hey, we ought to get a group together, just the four of us. And, you know, we'll have two guys and two women, and two of us are writers. You know, that's another thing. So recently I had reached out to Drew. I had not talked to them in a while because they've been super busy. You know, they're such like a mentor to me as far as booking gigs. They book more gigs than I've ever seen anybody book. Like, I know how. With me, I know how hard I have to beat the bushes to book a gig. It's nine no's and maybe one yes. You know what I mean? So I know one gig leads to another, but still.
And one thing that'll help you is festivals. That's just a great opportunity to meet other musicians and have other musicians hear you, and take the 30A. They play that one every year.
Yeah.
Like, most of the people playing 30A, like, when you start getting to know everybody, there's a chain.
Well,
you can kind of follow and see how it all happened.
Well, but I learned something this past year. See, this is one of the things that, because I learn something new every day about this stuff. Even playing as long as I have, I'm still learning every single day about everything music related. I didn't know that you have to submit in January for a festival in June. Like, it just never occurred to me that that's when. But I learned this year finally, because I submitted for Jimmy Rogers Festival down at Meridian, and they said, "Man, we love your stuff, but you're about 3 months too late. You know, holler at us in January next year." You know, but that's the kind of things that, you know, I know they know, you know what I mean? To even be part of that 30A, I'm sure they had to.
And, like, you wouldn't even know
to ask them.
To ask that.
That's right, yes.
Like,
because they would be
happy
to share.
You got to get out there and figure it out, and then you.
You know, they are such professionals and so good at what they do. That's the reason I hadn't even asked them anything like that, because they're so good at what they do. I would never want to mess with that, you know, because I know that they both love it. And for them to have something like that they share is rare. You know, for him to have somebody that he's married with that is just as good a musician as he is, you know, if not on the musician side, if not, I mean, he's a great musician because he does, you know, you can tell in his songwriting, you can tell he plays different styles because he has a really wide range as far as his songwriting style. I know he said at times, I've heard him say that, you know, he's been accused of writing the same song at times, you know, which all of us have, but that's somebody listening that don't know what they're listening to. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's what I told him. So anyway, but I just wanted to mention them because they are such, as far as what they're doing and how they're doing it, to me, that's the example of what can be done, you know, for a songwriter or a musician that, you know, I mean, they play and make a lot of bookings and tour. And just like you said, 30A, you know, that's a huge festival. And so, like, I've never even submitted to something like that. But if I did, I would be super lucky to even be included.
You might be surprised.
Well, I mean, I'm probably going to, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Come January,
if I say,
it's on, buddy. I mean, it's going to be, you know, I'm probably just liable, because I've got 10 that I submitted for this year that I got contact information for that has told me to submit in January. Well, I mean, how am I supposed to know that they all go to looking in January? They not go, you know? So, yeah,
you do now.
Yeah, I do now, right. And so, and you know, I the fellow at Porch Fest, he's going to let me play, looks like.
Hey, you're in there, man.
So, there's one. And yeah. So I'm going to try to hit festival season. Because the thing is, that's the good thing about festivals is that you get to see folks in the daytime. And it's not just at a bar or a restaurant where they've come to do something else and you're also there. You know what I mean?
Right.
They
And the way that we have it set, man, is 45 minutes. And like this past year, I had booked a couple of people from one in Kentucky and another one out in Texas to come play. And their question as they were prepping to come here and what to expect and what I was expecting out of them, I was like, I want 45 minutes.
Of your best stuff.
Of your best stuff. I was, if you get here, you get nervous. If you need to play a cover to find your footing, that's fine, but that's not what I'm paying you for. I want your music. Mm. Like, this is music discovery. You, like, people who come to this festival, they'll be anywhere from, you'll be playing from 500 to 2,000 people at any given time because people are always coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, you might be the name that they came to see. So just bring it. Yeah. And if they weren't here to see you, make them a fan. You got 45 minutes to win them over.
Well, that's, you know, that is what I've always felt was my strong suit because
Nobody's
going to look at me and say, well, man, that guy's good looking. I want to go see that guy. You know what I mean? It's not going to happen. But if I could ever get them to a show or let somebody let me play, I can win them over. You know, I know I'm confident in that because I'm willing to work for it and I care about people having a good time. See, that's the secret of playing live is you've got to really be a person that cares about other people. Because if you're not, it's going to come through. You can't hide anything. When you get in that spotlight, you can't hide whether you love it, whether you're having a good time, whether you feel strong or not. You can't hide. There's nowhere to hide.
Yeah.
You know? And
that's true.
It's one of the pure, that's what I'm saying. That's what makes me really love music and playing live so much is it's one of the purest things that there are still left in this world. You know, I mean, it will all come out in wash in the end. You know what I mean? It's going, you know, I went through a period where I was writing some really sad songs, and it just so happened I got into Towns Van Zandt at that time. And he happened to say the one thing, and he was, I don't know if he was doing an interview or whether this was in watching one of his live shows that he did somewhere, because, I mean, I've just watched, I'm a real Towns Van Zandt fan, but he was saying, you know, don't be afraid to write a sad song because there's people out here that have gone through exactly what you need to say to them, and you never know who's listening or what that song's gonna mean to them when they hear it. You just need to, because you need to just write from your heart and not be afraid, and therein lies the true art. You can't be afraid to say, that's the reason, like, these comedians nowadays, I feel for them because, you know, they have to watch what they say. Otherwise, somebody's going to get offended by just a joke. You know what I mean?
True.
And that's their whole shtick is to say stuff as a joke that, you know, you wouldn't be serious about somebody and say something.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean?
Be edgy, yeah.
But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you cannot – that's where the art comes in is you can't be afraid – and you have to just be unapologetic to write what you're thinking at the time. And it may not be... So I've got this one song that's really controversial. And depending on which side of the fence you're on, you know, you could take it either way. I didn't mean it really either way.
It's just kind of how it came out.
It's just kind of how it came out in that moment. And it's just a little speck of time. I mean, you know how songs are. It may not be... You may be describing something that you think somebody else thinks. You know what I mean? Trying to be in their shoes, kind of. But it's either way, it's just like a little speck in time of what you were thinking. And it's just like a little flash, sort of, in your mind of what, of the thought that you had at the time. But, man, when I play this song out, I mean, people either love it or they hate it really bad. And so, but I'm not going to pull it because that is what the art is. is being able to take whatever you want to say and express that for somebody to listen to when they need to hear it.
We had that happen like three different times with three different musicians at the previous open mic, and I don't know if they had talked before, but all three of them played a song they had written that was fairly controversial in nature. But it changed, and we played inside because it was so hot.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a great crowd inside that night, and like you always knew when those songs came up because you could hear a pin drop. Like they had everybody's full attention. Like everybody's heads was turned. There wasn't nobody taking sips of drinks. They was like, oh, and I was like, nah, that's rare. We just hit it. That's rare.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's what you want.
Yeah, and you know it when you see it, too, because everybody will turn around and look and be like, whoa, what did you just say? You know? The more you try sometimes to apologize for it, the worse it makes it to me.
Just move on.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm moving on to the next song, you know?
Yeah.
But it, anyway, it's amazing to see, because like I said, I went through a period where I was only doing cover stuff, and I was just playing so much, doing cover tunes and that kind of stuff, because if I'm in a happy mood and I've got enough time, pretty much I'm going to write a song. I enjoy writing in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Which some people like to do it in the evening. I like to do it in the morning. And
I find the morning to be best. You get two different songs out of the same day. Like, the morning is before the day has affected you, and if you wait till the evening, you're carrying a lot of baggage.
Yeah. Well, mentally, to me, if I go all the way through the day, like in the morning, when I get up and I've got that morning energy, it's like my mind goes to a different place that I don't have the energy to go to in the evening. I like to play in the evening, but I like to write and get my ideas. And sometimes I may not write in the morning, but I may get a really good idea in the morning. But sometimes, like, I'll go for like I'll show you here in a minute, I got a 75 CJ Jeep out there with a big V8 in it, and that thing just boop, 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 boop. And so sometimes I'll just go for a ride in that just to
clear your head,
just clear my head, and it don't even have a radio in it. We just ride around and listen to the engine, you know, because you can just ride down the road just like that, you know, and you know, you just putt around. It's a 3-speed, you know, it'll go 0 to 55 real quick, but it, you know,
that's
you
get all it's got,
yeah, that's all it's got, so you know. But I get out in that thing and just it helps me clear my mind because, you know, with the day being so hectic as it is, all of us, it makes it harder for me to write in the evening for that reason. I'm so wore out, or especially doing contract negotiations like I do. Sometimes you get inundated with emails and having to, because if you reply too quick, sometimes that's bad. If it's not quick enough, sometimes that's bad. And so it's a lot of internal stress, you know, everybody's wearing a dress kind of thing. And so, like, by the end of the day, I'm pretty shot, you know, to really even be able to enjoy playing even. So that's why, like, especially like Saturday mornings, I'm big on Saturday mornings. You know, I used to get all my ideas because I can get up in the morning, I can enjoy the redbirds out here in the backyard, and just, you know, just enjoy being alive and being a human and appreciate, you know, we're all out here just trying to figure it out, you know.
Right on.
So,
well, dude, I've got a let's do one more question, and I've got to wrap up here.
Okay.
Got to come back on.
Yeah.
I felt like we left a lot on the table, but would you please tell the people where they can connect with you on the social medias, and where's the best place to go listen to your music?
Well, I'm all over the north half of the state. As far as places to listen, best way to contact me is 662-415-3635. I'm on social media, JD Spencer. If you just want to Google JD Spencer, but I'm on Facebook. I just changed the Facebook page because we're trying to transition to a band, and it's now JD and the Muddy River Band on Facebook if you wanted to search for that. I'm also on Twitter. You just search JD Spencer on any of them. I'm on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, pretty much the whole gamut. I'm on Spotify, Apple Music, all the streaming platforms. So, you know, you just pretty much capital J, capital D, Spencer with a C. And
you'll come up for you.
Yep.
Go help him out, follow, subscribe, and check out what he's got. Book him.
Hey, appreciate it.
Have him out. Thank you, JD.
Been getting awful thirsty, waiting on the weekend to only say it's been a long week just seems wrong. But I know this day of struggle is necessary. If I ever hope to have the faith to carry on. Sometimes it just ain't words enough to speak of. That's why there's middle fingers and tequila. Somehow find a way to carry on. And the rain, it has to come before the rainbow. And the sunsets make it better for the day is gone. If you're in the mood to laugh, there's margaritas. Crying, there's whiskey straight. But sometimes there just ain't words enough to speak of. That's why there's middle fingers and tequila.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.